last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Today, 6th of January, used to be always known as Little Christmas. Some places known as Women's Christmas. It's become popular in the last decade or so to call it Nollaig na mBan. But we've got quite a lot of reports been issued today targeted at women and aimed at women. And AIB has put out research which finds that a third of women feel somewhat or very uncomfortable with their financial situation. As many as 85% apparently don't feel confident enough to start investing. I'm going to start with Kellyanne Quinn, financial planner and founder of Life Planning. Although I do wonder how many men actually also start investing, given the amount of money that is left on deposit in our banks. Is there perhaps overall a general reluctance by people to make investments in Ireland for fear of losing their money, that they opt for the safety of leaving it on deposit in the bank?
There is. That's exactly it. There's an intimidation there that people, rather than tackle it and take control of it, they'll just turn their head away and leave it where it's safe and take the option, the route that they understand more. And also, we kind of carry mistakes of our fathers and mistakes of the past. You heard that, you know, people, bad investment decisions, and that we see that carry down into generations where people are afraid of making the financial decisions. So what we try and do...
And sorry, Kellyanne, can I suggest that maybe as well that for a generation, they see what happened with property investments in the last part of the last century, the Celtic Tiger Year decade of the first part, and when a lot of this new investment in property blew up in their faces, that this now has persuaded a lot of people... Leave the money safely in the bank.
That's exactly it. So what we try and do now is we try and explain better to people and give them a better understanding of where their investments are. You know, their pension, it'll be in a regulated fund, it'll be in a safe asset. They can choose the level of risk they want to take, but we try and give them an understanding of what the risk means, because there's also a fear if people don't take that risk, then the money, it doesn't earn a return and it doesn't grow to what they need for their pension. So we try and explain it to people. And by using financial plan, you know, it looks at, it's a holistic view. It looks at all their assets and their liabilities. It just doesn't focus on that one need and gives people great control of their money.
Do you think though, Kellyanne, that, and this is very much aimed at women and we will focus on that as well, but that there is a situation where a lot of people are looking on a sort of a day-to-day basis or a week-to-week basis, and they're looking at immediate costs like the mortgage or the rent or the childcare. And then it's only a sort of maybe as a by the way, if anything is left after paying for all of that, that investment for the future is considered.
Yeah. And that's exactly what financial planning will help look at, because it will look at all your needs now and prioritize, because we can't address everything today. So it will help people look at that and take control. But also, I have a podcast that I aim at women with another female financial advisor, Jill Steeples. And what we do is we just pick a topic every 2 weeks and just chat around it to try and give people the confidence that when they go into an advisor or a financial planner, that they'll understand, they'll be able to understand the jargon a little bit better, know what questions to ask. Because I know when I tell people, especially women, that I'm a financial planner, they get the ick. They go, oh no, I don't want to talk to you. They can visualize those pension benefit statements in their drawers that they don't want to look at. They put their head in the sand. Whereas we're trying to help people, you know, just get more comfortable talking about it and asking questions. Because as advisor, we want people to ask us. We want to help them and we want to bring them. But there can be, I think sometimes people feel that they need to understand and nod along and not to look stupid. But like, you know, I don't understand when I go to a mechanic, you know, I don't understand everything he's telling me. And we should feel the same. We should be able to ask the same questions when it comes to our finances.
I want to bring in Jennifer Keane, founder of paygap.ie, because is it the case that for many women that they don't have the money to invest because in the first place, they're not earning as much as men, often in cases when they're doing exactly the same work?
Hi, Matt. It more or less is. I mean, unfortunately, the data shows that the pay gap does persist. Now, it's not the same as the legal principle of equal pay, right? But the percentage gap that you see is essentially a representation of our earning potential over the lifetime of our career. And if you imagine someone working in a company or an industry that has pay gaps of 20, 30, 40% or higher, That's quite simply less disposable income that you have to invest in AVCs, to invest in your pension, or to invest in any sort of other financial products like shares or EFTs. And so, of course, you're going to be then more risk averse because you have more to lose. You don't have as much to invest, and the consequence for that investment maybe not working out the way you want is going to be greater, because that's going to be a greater proportion of the income that you have.
Okay. And is this because of women maybe taking time out during their working career to either to have children or to act as carers, be it for the children or maybe for their parents or for other people? Or is it that they simply don't get paid the correct amount of money for the work that they're doing by comparison with men, that companies can often be biased towards paying men more?
I think it's a combination of all of the above and more, really. I mean, the reality is, of course, absolutely, women do take time out of work to have children, to raise them. Women do still disproportionately take on childcare and elder care, and that is reflected in time we have to take out of work, which is, of course, then reflected in the progression through an industry or a company, and ultimately our paycheck. But there's also a lot of societal pressure that dictates that. And when you look at the figures of who's in senior leadership in different companies and industries, we also have to look at, well, then who's making the policies about how people progress in those companies? And who's making the policies about, for example, whether or not a company pays maternity leave? If a company, the majority of the senior leadership is men, are they considering the impact of what it means when a company doesn't pay maternity leave, both short-term and long-term, on a woman's financial prospects?
Jennifer, you mentioned things like AVCs and EFTs, and isn't this part of the problem? And again, I don't think this just applies to women, but applies to a lot of men as well, that the minute they hear things like that, they go, what's that? I don't understand that. It's a bit like the modern version of the tracker mortgage.
Very much so. And I confess that when that ad came out, I didn't know what a tracker mortgage was, although I do now. I do wonder sometimes myself. My mum worked in banking, so I had a good financial backing when I was growing up, a good financial grounding. But I've had female colleagues come to me in the workplace rather than any other male co-workers to explain things, because they're concerned that they're going to be talked down to, or people are going to react as if they're asking stupid questions. But they're not stupid questions, because, to be honest, in the pursuit of, I suppose, making sure that every institution fulfills their legal requirements, sometimes that documentation is very opaque and it's very unclear to people what these products are. And the thing is, they're not actually complicated when you look at them. Pension is a fancy savings account, and if you can place a bet, you can buy stocks. But yeah, they're not presented in the same way at all.
Yeah, the problem is the regulation, while it's wonderful and the transparency, it's all the disclosure documents that have to be provided along with the important information, so that those important pieces can get lost in the overwhelming level of literature that people get.
Do you think, Kellyanne, though, as well, and I don't want to be pushing this back necessarily on the schools, but if you have, even a lot of parents might not be particularly well placed to teach their children as to how to actually manage their investments. They probably know a lot about having to manage their money. They have gone through the process of signing a rent agreement or getting a mortgage out and realizing what the repayments have to be made and the rest of it. But when it comes to an awful lot of things like investment, should it be something that there should be some sort of course that every child should be made to do in school, not just something optional, whether they want to go for business studies as part of their junior cert or leaving cert?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, you said there that people can manage their money. It's amazing how many people just, they're not managing their day to day. They're not aware of exactly what's going out. And the first part we do with people with financial planning is look at the cost of their life. And people often underestimate that cost. They're not taking into account of everything. So I think even just basic budgeting should be in schools when everybody's leaving, that they understand how to even do it, whether it's on a spreadsheet, it's in a notebook or something, that they're able to keep a track of some sort of cash flow record of what's coming in and out. Because even before I've given any advice, when I go through that with clients, they feel a weight is lifted off their shoulders. Suddenly they feel there's an awareness there, and now they're able to keep moving along and tackle the next steps.
Okay.
Absolutely. And if I can just come in and...
Jennifer, yes.
Yeah. That course does actually exist. It's called Home Economics. just to hang in on the gender equality thing. Home Economics is often dismissed as a course that just girls do because it's about cooking and running a home. all of the things involved in running a home involve financial planning. You need to understand finances to run your home. And to some extent, that course does exist and it is not targeted at people because people don't understand what is in that course. And they don't understand that that course does include a financial grounding in how you run a home, information on income sources, information on expenditure, information on budgeting. It's another kind of lean back in on how we are teaching our boys and girls what subjects are for them and what their futures hold. We have the potential to teach people this.
Will auto-enrollment help?
A lot of people are put off it.
Will auto-enrollment for pensions help, which is taking place now? Yeah. I think about 700,000 people added in.
Yeah.
In that,
yeah.
A lot of people are complaining, I don't want to have to put money into a pension when I can barely afford my rent when I want to be able to save for a mortgage. But that it will actually maybe make people more cognizant of what will be required for their older years and persuade them maybe to top up on top of what's in the auto enrollment if they can afford it.
It really is. I'm having brilliant pension discussions with employees and companies that have never spoken to anybody before and haven't considered it and are not aware, because this is a big problem about pensions. We don't see ourselves being 65 and drawing an income. We think that's somebody else in the future, and we don't understand what that pot, what we're saving, what we're putting into it is. So auto-enrollment is really bringing on these conversations and helping people to start to think about their pension. And also because everybody's been brought in, people are talking to each other about pensions, which is doesn't happen normally. You know, people are having the conversations.
All right. I'm going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much, Jennifer Keane, founder of paygap.ie, and Kellyanne Quinn, financial planner and founder of Life Planning.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.